Hello, this is Pastor Sam Luke welcoming you to Victory Today. I'm going to share with you a message that I preached recently, and I pray that it will be a blessing to you. For more information, you can always go to our website, that's victorytab.org, or call us here at the church office, 804-744-8881. Let's go into that service right now where God is moving by His Spirit. Your lifetime, you'll spend 20 years sleeping and 20 years working, unless, of course, you sleep at work and it throws the whole thing off. 6 years eating, 7 years playing, 5 years dressing, 1 year on the telephone, unless you're my wife. 3 years waiting for somebody, unless you're me. And 3 months tying your shoes. Every 24 hours, your heart beats 103,689 times. Your blood travels 168 million miles. You breathe 23,040 times. You speak 4,000 words. You move 750 muscles. And you exercise 7 million brain cells. I'm tired. In the midst of all this, sometimes the cares of life seem to press us to the ground. It was the psalmist David who lamented, "No man cared for my soul." I think sometimes the problems and pressures of life seem to be too great to bear. And I think this is what the Apostle Peter had in mind when he said, casting all your cares on him because he cares for you. Somewhere listening to me today is a man who's been told by his doctors, "I'm sorry, there's nothing else that I can do." A woman has discovered that her husband of many years has betrayed her trust in him. There's a teenage girl who has been seduced and faces now an unwanted pregnancy and is struggling to deal with the humiliation and the disgrace of it all. There's a businessman who has filed for bankruptcy, and he's several hundred thousand dollars in debt and no way to pay it. A senior citizen who has retired to a life of boredom and realizes that he has been forgotten. There's the parent of a child who is a drug addict or an alcoholic or a runaway, and there's someone who's mourning the death of a loved one and someone whose heart has been broken and someone whose dreams and hopes have been shattered. And Peter said, when you get to that place, cast your cares on Jesus because he cares for you. There is no greater example of compassion than that of Jesus Christ. He always heard the cry of the hurting and he felt their pain and loneliness and he did something about it. He stood up in the synagogue and read from the book of Isaiah and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted. He has anointed me to set the captives free and to give sight to the blind." In Acts 10:38, the Bible tells us how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Jesus really did care. If you turn to Mark, the 10th chapter this morning, beginning with verse 16, you'll read the story of a man by the name of Bartimaeus who was blind. Bartimaeus was blind and he was a beggar and he heard about Jesus. I love to be the person who tells other people about Jesus. If I have anything that I'm proud of in my 66 years on this planet, is that early on in my life, I was called by God to tell people about Jesus. That's who I am. That's what I do. I want people to know who he is. I want to be the man that tells you he's the kingly Messiah, that he's the wonder worker, that he's the friend of sinners, that he's the light of the world, that he's the peacemaker, the sacrificial lamb, and he's the image of God, the liberator, the supreme prize in life struggle, the goal of character. I want to be able to tell people that this Jesus is the King of Kings and he's the Lord of Lords, that he's the lily of the valley, that he's the rose of Sharon, that he's the fairest of 10,000. I want to be able to tell people he's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the first and the last. He's the beginning and the end. Without him, there is no beginning of good nor end of misery. I want to be able to tell people about Jesus, the true vine. And unless we're engrafted in that vine, we're nothing but withered branches prepared for the fire. I want to be able to tell people that there's this man called Jesus who is still the friend that sticks closer than a brother, who will never leave you and never forsake you. And somebody must have told Bartimaeus, somebody must have said to him, if you ever hear about Jesus, if you ever hear that Jesus is in the vicinity, if you can get to him, you'll get a miracle. I want to be the one to tell you this morning that if you can get to Jesus, as many as touched him were made whole. I appreciate the fact that I'm a member of a denomination. Now, why I appreciate that is simple. I'm held accountable. I have obligations to meet. I am not the kind of preacher that doesn't answer to anybody. But you don't get saved and healed because of a denomination. I'm glad to tell you this morning that I've been educated in the university. And I know some things that I wouldn't have known otherwise. And basically what a university will do if it's worth its salt is teach you how to study, teach you how to search the Word of God. But a degree won't save you. I'm glad to tell you that I pastor a wonderful church, and it's Victory Tabernacle, and it's located at 11700 Genito Road in Midlothian, Virginia, 23112. But Victory Tabernacle can't save you. And Victory Tabernacle can't heal you. And Victory Tabernacle can't deliver you. The reason I'm standing behind this pulpit this morning is because I met a man called Jesus. And he changed my life. And he found me where I was. And he came to me at my point of need when I couldn't come to him. And he reached down and brought me up out of the quagmire of sin. He brought me up out of a horrible pit, David said. And he set my feet on the solid rock. He established my goings and he put a new song in my mouth. I'm here to tell you about a Jesus that turned my life around. When I was lost, he saved me. I was blind, but he opened my spiritual eyes so that I can see. I'm born again. I'm washed in the blood. I'm a child of God. I'm an heir of God. I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. My name is written in heaven. Hallelujah. He filled me with the blessed Holy Spirit. He started me on my way to heaven. I'm enjoying my journey. But one of these days, I'm going to a city that has life without death and light without shadows and health without sickness and plenty without hunger and joy with no misgivings. And the saints of God shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. And I will live there for eternity. Because of Jesus Christ. Somebody told him, and he heard them say the name of Jesus, and he stood up. It's time for us to do some standing up. We have been sitting down while we've heard the clamorous noise and the cacophony of people in our world talking about humanism. They talked about religion as if religion were a panacea for all of man's ills. But religion can't help you. Only Jesus can help you. I'm not religious just for the sake of being religious, but I found Jesus, and today he's the center of my joy, and he's become the sum and substance of life itself. He's all in all, and everything I need, and whatever I need, and all I need is still Jesus. And they heard, he heard the crowd using the name of Jesus, and he stood up. This was his affirmation of faith. Not only do we need to stand up, we need to say something. Do you know faith has a voice? The Bible says we receive the spirit of faith. We believe, therefore we speak. And this is what he shouted. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Now look, that doesn't mean a lot to you and me because we're Gentiles. But what he was saying was this. You are the Messiah. You are the Son of David. That's a royal title. And he said, because I'm a Jew, I know who you are. You're the Messiah. The religionists may not believe it. The Pharisees may not believe it. The Sadducees may not believe it. The Roman government may not believe it. They may not believe it down at the temple. They may not believe it at the synagogue. But I know who you are. Jesus! Son of David, have mercy on me. Now, apparently, those people around Jesus wanted to create an atmosphere of decorum and control. And one of the things that's wrong with the postmodern church is that we've decided that if we're going to make any noise, at least we ought to be in control of what's going on. And we can dance and jump and twirl and spin, but let the Holy Ghost get involved and somebody's wanting to shut it down. Let the Holy Ghost move on somebody. Oh, we're not accustomed to that. Wait a minute. That's not on the order of service. Wait a minute. That's not in, that our agenda didn't accommodate that this morning. Oh, we don't do that first. We do prayer first, and then we do praise and worship, and then we have some songs, and then there's going to be a sermon. But it's all out of order today. I want you to know, as long as the Holy Ghost is in it, it's in perfect order. And the disciples were trying to set everything in order. And they said, somebody tell him to hush. He's undignified. That's not the way we roll around here. Who does he think he is? Jesus, Son of David, have mercy. And I believe somebody went to him and said, sir, get control of yourself. You are embarrassing us. Don't do that. And you know what the Bible said he did? He cried the more. And he cried louder. He turned the volume up. You see, once you know that Jesus is in the house, and once you discover that unless you touch him, you're going to leave just like you came, you'll get loud. Hey, Jesus, you better come see about me. I didn't come to see Pastor Sam. I didn't come to hear the choir. I didn't come to hear just a song. I came here because they told me Jesus was in the house. They said, for where two or three are gathered together, that Jesus would be there, and I came here looking for him. Son of David! And Jesus stopped them. He said, stop it, hold it. Tell him to come over here. Now watch this. I love this. See, a lot of this, we just read through it so quickly that we don't get it. In Jesus' day, there was no Medicaid. There was no financial aid. The government didn't have Social Security. And so the only thing that man had going for him was his beggar's coat. Not anybody could wear that, because when you put on a beggar's coat, it said to everybody that came by, I must be the object of your pity. You can't pass me without giving me some money. You can't pass me without helping me. You see this coat I got on? It says I'm blind, and it says I'm a beggar. And they said to the man, Jesus, won't you? And the man, casting aside his garment, he said, I ain't gonna need that no more. I used to be a beggar. I used to beg. I used to be blind. But if Jesus is calling me, I'm done with that. Oh, and he ran to Jesus, and Jesus healed him. I'm telling you, cast aside your beggar's garment. Get rid of it and run to Jesus this morning and say, here I am, Jesus. Do what you do. And by the way, what he does is what he did.
Pastor Sam Luke again with a special prayer for you. I pray today that God will bless you and encourage you, and that what you've heard today will stay with you and you'll be able to walk out your faith. Thank you so much for being a part of Victory today. For more information, I want you to go to our website. That's victorytab.org, or call us here at 804-744-8881. Thank you for listening. God bless you. Until we see you next time on Victory Today.